You are now entering the world of Blissful Living, broadcasting around the globe and on the Blissful Living Network with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you lacking energy, clarity, and that sense of true well-being? Are you overworked, underpaid, and know that you deserve more in life? You are not alone. Improve your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so that you can step into living the life of your dreams. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living, the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. This is the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson. And I want to welcome you again to this wonderful segment that we're going to have today with a wonderful guest, Yoel Swan. But before I get into the guest, I want to thank the sponsors of our segment, the Health, Healing, and Wellness Company. Please go check them out at healthhealingwellness.com, holistic health and wellness company that has an abundance of ways and things and therapies that you can take advantage of to elevate your health and well-being naturally. So I highly recommend that you check out the Health Healing Wellness Company at healthhealingwellness.com. And then our other sponsor today is the telecommunications company in the Northern California area, but does business all over the nation, All Day Cable Inc., 26 years in business. And if you have or know someone that has a business or yourself that are in need of telecommunications network distribution, installation, voice, data, fiber, wireless systems, then you want to check them out. You can check them out at alldaycableinc.com. And again, that's alldaycableinc.com. Now, I'm curious, and I'm going to pose this question to you before we get started in our segment today, but have any of you out there ever heard of the Indigo Children or Crystal Children or Crystal Adults or Indigo Adults? As you know, Blissful Living is a show that's dedicated to reducing or eliminating stress from all aspects of our life. And it is my belief that when you are most educated about so many vast modalities and things out there that can help you with all aspects of your life so you can travel down your path to bliss just a little bit more stress-free, then I want to share that information with you. And today's guest is Yoel Swan. As I mentioned, she is a spiritual counselor, mentor, and coach who has taken the understanding of the soul and the wounded feminine to a new cosmic depth. Check this out. A modern seer who perceives life as energy and is sensitive to other dimensions, she began channeling spiritual messages in her teenage journals and later developed a practical system of spiritual healing and energy management for more than 30 years, exploring the mind and the psyche, guided by her intuitive gifts, mystical experiences, and enlightened teachers from both Buddhist and Hindu traditions. Now, once Yoel realized she was an indigo adult expressing the wounded feminine on the planet, she noticed that some of her clients were also indigos, while most displayed many but not all of the indigo features. While identifying the spiritual wounds and codependent patterns they all had in common, she discovered a feminine-masculine soul spectrum that explains essential differences between the many soul types inhabiting the earth today. And so she is here to share her wisdom, her profound insights about this, as well as we're going to talk a little bit about her new book, The Indigo Journal, Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls. And I have a copy of this book and have been diving into it and absolutely love it. So I want to take this time to welcome Yoel Swan to Blissful Living. Hello, Yoel. How are you?
Hi, Rochelle. Thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
Good. I want to, you know, really get into this because it's so profound, and I know a lot of people out there wondering now, have maybe a little bit of curiosity peak as to what are indigo children? So can you just briefly explain to the listeners what is meant by the term indigo children?
Well, indigo children were coined by a psychic who perceived a different color in the aura of certain kids, and so she labeled them indigo children. But from my perspective and from what I've discovered, indigos come in all ages and personalities. They're not just children. And a lot of the adults are unaware that they are indigos and that they hold a different type of soul wiring, if you will. Some of the main features of indigos pertain to all feminine souls, and those are being highly sensitive, you know, emotionally or otherwise, to chemicals, to the environment, to the energy around them, being receptive and intuitive, which is an essential quality of the feminine, that gives us a non-cognitive perception, also being empathetic or empathic and compassionate, deeply connected to nature and animals, drawn to spiritual metaphysicals, to the invisible stuff, you know, the invisible things that the logic cannot grasp, and being highly creative, you know, solution-oriented, and with a non-linear spherical type of thinking that allows us to perceive different aspects of one thing at the same time. And so these are qualities of the feminine that all feminine souls share. And indigos have also certain masculine qualities that distinguish them from the rest of the feminine souls. And these are being really bound to the truth, you know, so we really suffer when we see all the lies and manipulation out there in the world. Freedom-seeking nature. So even as children, we are rebellious and we don't like to be controlled and we don't like to, you know, be molded into something that we're not. And driven by a strong sense of purpose. If we don't have a purpose on a regular basis, we tend to disconnect and get depressed and have all sorts of issues. So all these features make us feel out of place, different from most of the people around us, like,
you know,
a stranger in a strange land.
You know, y'all, that's very interesting. As I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm sure the listeners out there, there's so many qualities that you describe that generally, typically are natural to women. But when there's certain qualities that you also describe that is not always natural to women. And certain people have those contexts of things that you were saying, both the feminine and the masculine qualities. And it's just very interesting. Are there any like physical attributes, that one may say, for instance, I heard a long time ago, and this was probably in the early 90s, that indigo children tend to have, you know, really big, beautiful eyes, almond-shaped, and, you know, things of that nature. Are there any physical qualities that go along with this indigo description, or no?
Well, I don't think so, because this is not... it's not gender-based. These are spiritual qualities that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And we incarnate and reincarnate many times, and we have to go through all the different aspects of the human experience. So sometimes we're going to be, you know, from a certain culture, other times from another culture. Sometimes we're going to be rich, sometimes poor, sometimes a woman, sometimes a man, and so on. We need to explore all the facets of the human experience to integrate ourselves, integrate our soul, and be feel more completed with our purpose and our visit here, if you will, our experience here. So,
perfect.
Yeah, all children tend to have bright eyes because they're curious, they're alive,
mm-hmm.
they have a lot of energy, and of course the eyes are the mirrors of the soul. So some are gonna portray these feminine qualities, which are more loving, more compassionate, more creative, you know, they're curious, and very receptive. And that's what we are perceiving. I think that one of the main reasons why we started taking a closer look at these different soul types was because we were hastening the pace towards the big transformation that we're going to be going through. And so we were paying more attention and starting to notice these subtle differences. And that's when, you know, the labels came about. But in reality, feminine souls have been here for a very long time, and indigos too, just not as much as now. Now we have more and more feminine souls coming in because we are transitioning towards a feminine cosmic cycle. So we need more of that energy in the world.
Beautiful.
And women, of course, we tend to have a triple dose of the feminine. You know, if we are feminine souls, we are feminine on the spiritual level, on the emotional level, and of course the physical level, the sensory level. So we need a lot of that right now.
Yes, we do. Now, it took you a long time to realize that you yourself are an indigo adult. Are most indigo adults unaware of being indigo?
Yes, unfortunately, especially older generations. Newer generations have a little bit more information, you know, with the internet and all that. So they can look and search and find more answers. But older generations definitely are unaware, and we just feel disconnected. You know, one of the main, struggles or challenges of being an indigo is growing up feeling different, feeling separate, even from your family. You know, and these are many scenarios that can play out here, like being adopted or being discriminated, or, you know, made to feel that you don't deserve as much as your siblings. Or, you know, there's this feeling of being left out and separate.
Have you heard this one, feeling like they're really here all alone? Have you heard that one?
Yeah, all indigos feel very alone because they feel like out of place. Now, one of the distinctions that I also point out in the book is that there are introvert indigos and extrovert indigos, and they're going to experience this differently because the introversion brings the energy more inward, so they're more self-conscious, and the extroversion is more masculine and brings the energy outward. So they may feel like they fit in better as they grow up, but later on as adults, they feel out of place as well. So that's one of the main things. And so I grew up feeling like that, like a stranger in a strange land. I always describe indigos as these highly creative, sensitive, and empathic visionaries that feel like the ugly duckling in the world.
Or probably the one that's just, no matter what they, you know, it's like it's not good enough, you know. It's funny. That's cute. I like that description, because I know a lot of people out there listening are listening to the different, you know, qualities of the soul, of the masculine, feminine, and just the qualities that you're describing with regards to how, you know, people feel that are indigos, as from children to adulthood, how they feel. And I know there are people who are out there listening thinking, wow, you know, that's me, or that describes me. So it's really good that we're able to have you on the show to share this information, because I want to get into later how this information can help us. But what distinguishes, because you hear about other soul types out there, and, you know, there's a lot of, I want to say, awakening, enlightening that's occurring on our planet right now, particularly with the feminine. I've seen it. I've seen, you know, just the whole world. And I know you have too. It's just evolving, and there's a lot of awakening. So with the awakening, I know there's people out there discussing different types of soul types. Can you tell us what distinguishes indigos from other soul types?
Aside from the the qualities that all feminine souls share, indigos are warrior types of souls. And warriors not in terms of, you know, promoting war, but in terms of the strength and the determination and the goal-oriented nature that makes us go and fight and seek what we really want and not stop until we find that. That's why having a goal is so important. It also makes us, because of the masculine qualities, it makes us a little bit more resentful. We have this righteous indignation about what's going on in the planet and why is there so much injustice and so much suffering? And because originally we came here to protect the planet. That's why we're so connected to nature, to animals, and to all the species and creatures that we see in this beautiful planet. So we came here to protect that. And when we see the devastation and the experimentation that's been going on and all the destruction, we get really angry. We feel very powerless and we feel angry. Other souls, other feminine souls, are less resentful. They're more forgiving, if you will, more generous, more flexible. Indigos are like warriors, we're going to hold on to this and fight until we get what we want. But that also gives us this strength that keeps us going. We're still seeking our purpose. We're still looking for something. We know there's something more to this life. We know that we just have to carry on and we'll get there. While other feminine souls might be a little bit more passive. And I know, from my practice, I've seen feminine souls who can take so much abuse and be in such dysfunctional places and relationships, and they still don't have the wherewithal to get out of that. You know, indigos, no, we're like, okay, enough. We're willing to fight even against our parents, authority, mm-hmm. You name it, because we don't want to be controlled and we have that strength. We don't recognize it. We don't value it.
Mm.
And that's another issue here, another struggle, is that...
Why do you think
we feel out of place and we feel like there's something wrong with us because we are not experiencing things the same way other people are. So we feel a little flawed, So indigos need healing. It's not just a matter of recognizing, oh, I'm an indigo. There's more to that. There's a lot more. And the book goes really in depth into that indigo archetype and all the spiritual wounds that need to be, addressed and nurtured.
Let's talk a little bit about the book. According to the book, and like I said, I've got my copy, and when I got it, I was so excited and just dived into it. But according to the book, feminine souls, and especially indigos, feel out of place and suffer from emotional issues like depression and anxiety. Can you tell us why that occurs?
That's mostly because feminine souls are very receptive and empathic and connected to the earth. So whether we're aware or not, we are experiencing and feeling the suffering, the pain of the planet. And so we see a lot of depression and anxiety nowadays, even in young people, young generations, because it's too much. We're at a tug of war, if you will, between the feminine and the masculine. It's very polarized, and the world is always pushing and pressuring us to go in this masculine direction of, being structured and logical and militarized, standardized, war-oriented, fight-oriented. We have the war on everything nowadays, right? And so our feminine nature goes in the opposite direction, where there's more compassion and more love and more understanding and more community, more connection, more nurturing. And so in this world, the feminine has gotten so wounded that we feel split. You know, like we're stuck in between a rock and a hard place, and we don't know what to do because we don't understand that it's not just our own issues, personal issues, which of course play a part because we're individual souls, but we're also experiencing and expressing the wounded feminine on the planet. You know, that the Mother Earth is really crying out loud and calling all feminine souls to awaken and become more empowered to bring forth that, you know, to restore this energy, bring forth their own qualities. And so that's why, you know, we're very sensitive, we're very empathic, very receptive. We take in energies that are not even ours, you know, and we are connected to the planet. You know, the physical body belongs to the planet. It's made of the planet. And so we are always receiving and perceiving what's going on around us, and we express that as our own, you know. And we have to learn to manage our energy and distinguish what's ours and what's not, and how we can contribute through our own transformation to the transformation of the planet.
Now, do you have any do you have something that you could share with the listeners right now with regards to knowing when they have taken in the energy of someone else and how they can, you know, become aware of that and potentially prevent that from happening more than often, more than not?
Well, it's a process of self-awareness. You know, without self-awareness, you can't really tell where you end and others begin, because we all grow up being very codependent. You know, we rely absolutely on our environment, our parents, teachers, and so on. And so we're always focusing on the outside, what's outside, the external world, and trying to navigate life, you know, understand what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to behave, and so on. And nobody really guides us to look within and really understand who we are, what we bring with us, you know, what makes us so unique and individual, because the world is trying to make us just fit in a certain mold, you know, through family behavior and cultural behavior, education, and so on. And so we don't have tools to really clarify what's ours and what's not. We need to go through that process of self-awareness and energy management to really understand, oh, okay, this is mine because it's taking me to, you know, a wounded place from my past, but this excess is not mine. It comes from somewhere else. It comes from the environment I'm in. It comes from the interactions that I've had with people, or it comes even from the news that I get, you know, that, you know, there's so much suffering. And I take it in because I don't know how to set these energy boundaries that are essential right now for everyone, really.
So basically, the key is being self-aware, and then once you are aware of yourself and how far basically your energy extends out, then setting up boundaries at the end of that so that you are more aware or more cautious and of when you're grasping onto someone else's energy and being able to just block that just a little bit.
Yeah, and that self-awareness is, you know, it's from within and without. In other words, you set boundaries internally with the things that you're willing to tolerate or not, things that you're willing to let in or not, and also the things that you do, the attitudes that you have on the outside that get reflected through your interactions with others, you know, and whether you're going to take in what they're going through and start taking responsibility for their issues, or you're going to, you know, step back and let them deal with that because it's their own journey. So it's both, because we are vibrational energy, always exchanging our energy with others as well. But if we start looking within and really harnessing that creative power of the feminine, we understand that we are creating our own little movie, and we can change the script of that movie, if we're not enjoying it. But that movie that we experience as our life is really reflecting our own self-perception. And so it's both from within and what's going on the outside. I hope I'm clear about
that.
Yeah,
no, I totally am with you. And I think that was a great explanation for those listening that may have not been able to define, what the boundaries, when we say that, what that really means. So thank you for explaining that. Now, I think we talked a little bit about this, but I just want to, be certain before we move on with regards to also in the book, you talk about the layers of the soul, both the feminine and the masculine. And I think we got a little bit into that, but can you just share a little bit more information about that?
Sure. The soul is a spark of consciousness. It's eternal. It's neutral at the core. It's neutral energy because consciousness is neutral, right? But that same consciousness that creates the universe needs to split and separate into the divine feminine and the divine masculine to create everything. Without that, it remains in neutral form, just pure consciousness. So that split into the feminine and the masculine creates these two principles that are continually interacting with each other to expand creation, to continue with this universe and all the universes. So it's exactly the same thing within each soul. We have the masculine and feminine always interacting, interplaying to help us grow and expand our own consciousness. And so you can envision these aspects as layers of energy that kind of encapsulate that core, that spark of consciousness. And so some are feminine, some are masculine. The closest one to the core is the spiritual layer, which is feminine in nature. It's what connects us to our spiritual senses and the recognition of our divine nature, right? It also holds that creative power that allows us to shape our reality. Then there's the mental layer, which is masculine. It's the intellectual aspect that lets us judge and discriminate what we perceive, learn from our experiences, remember things, and, it expresses the light of consciousness. It makes us self-aware. And then the emotional layer is the feminine aspect of the mind, which is more connected to sensory perception, as well as the intelligence of the heart, where we express that love and compassion. Of course, it's feminine. And then what keeps all of the layers together is the energy or prana layer, and it's neutral. It really depends on which aspect is directing it. But it gives you the energy, energy that's mental energy or creative energy or emotional energy, physical energy. It's energy that we need to channel in some way. And, of course, the physical body is attached to the other layers through this energy layer because, of course, when we die, we drop that one and continue on our journey. But the physical body has both feminine and masculine qualities because our senses are receptive. Well, there are windows of perception that are open 24/7, but the organs of action that allow us to accomplish things and do things, are masculine. They're action oriented. So the physical body is a manifestation of the mind, is a vehicle of expression and action for all the other layers of the soul, and it's always receiving and translating and expressing the feminine and masculine qualities. So the more in alignment, the more integrated those aspects are within ourselves, the stronger, more clear about who we are, what we want, and how to accomplish, what we're here to do, contribute, what we're here to share, becomes, you know, we become stronger individuals, really focus and accomplishing what we want to accomplish on the physical, on this physical realm.
I love it. Thank you. A great explanation with regards to giving me more understanding about the layers of the soul. Now, within the context of, I want to say, the mental layer or one of the layers of the soul, you know, we have our ego, our lovely little ego that sometimes creates a little bit of chaos or challenges with regards to us traveling, you know, our journey here, our path, on our path to bliss. When you say that the ego is a virtual layer of the mind, can you please explain what you're meaning by that?
The ego is a virtual layer because it doesn't really exist unless we are incarnated. So it's formed through the identification of the other layers, the mental and emotional sheaths, with the physical body. And so it holds both feminine and masculine aspects. It allows you to experience things as a separate identity, you know, as an individual, and connect and interact with others. And that's why it only exists when your soul is incarnated. The more that we become self-aware and acquire a higher perception of things, a sense of oneness, the more it dissolves, you know, it kind of fades. It fades out. But of course, the ego, when we're not self-aware, when we don't have any inner work done, then it kind of rules your life. And it rules your life through that identification with a physical body. It means with your attachments and your desires, and, you know, we hold on to things and we get really upset if we don't get what we want. You know, that's ego. The feminine is more flexible, it's more internal, because there are these two aspects of ego. One is feminine, is more inward, and the other one is masculine, is outward, is the, you know,
so,
interaction with the world.
So, okay, I have a question here. I guess based on the higher you ascend, or maybe that's not the correct term, but with regards to your life that you are supposed to experience through your soul's journey, is it the more you kind of, I want to say, get closer towards a higher level, the less your ego comes into play with being able to create havoc in your life? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Because you take charge from a different layer. In other words, you can imagine the layers of the soul as nested shades, as a lamp. So at the very core, there's this light, mm-hmm. the light of consciousness, mm-hmm. that's pure and infinite and all potential. And then you have these nested layers. The grossest one is the physical. That's where the physical senses exist and kind of direct the play, right? But
right.
The more you look within, the more you place your awareness from a deeper layer, like the spiritual layer, that's closest to your true divine nature, the less attached you're going to be to the physical. So the less control and the less in charge the ego becomes. The more attached you are to the physical, you know, like people who believe that that's all there is, there's nothing
right.
but physical, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to focus on fulfilling my desires no matter what, and, you know, being attached to what I want and the people in my life and so on. Well, those people are going to suffer a lot more because the attachment that the ego creates is going to bind them to, you know, just living in the physical and not perceiving life from a higher place, from a, you know, higher perception to create a higher reality that is less attached to the physical, closer to infinite consciousness that is, you know, pure love, pure bliss, pure wisdom.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, here's another question. You know, you say you have a parent and a child, and now I'm thinking I've actually seen this based on what you just shared. The parent is not as evolved. The parent's soul is not as evolved as the child. So the parent is a little bit more, you know, attached to the physicality of life, whereas the child is more compassionate and, you know, all of the qualities that you explain. What I'm asking is, that is that truly possible? And if so, is there a message or a lesson or something behind the interaction of those two souls, even though they seem like they're in reverse places?
Well, all new generations bring in, you know, bring forth or push towards the evolution. So new generations are always going to bring more clarity and wisdom than the previous ones. But one of the things that I actually stress out a lot in the book is that we need to take spiritual responsibility for our journey, because it's a soul-guided journey. It's not an ego-based journey, although we may experience it like that. But it's soul-guided in the sense that it takes us to the right place at the right time so we can internalize the issues we need to work on to continue evolving. And that means our environment, our parents, you know, the main landmarks of our lives are already chosen on a soul level. You know, we choose them, but when we're choosing them, we're not in ego viewpoint, you know, we're on a soul level, on a vibrational level. And so we need to deal with these parents that we've chosen to both be at peace with them, because there's clearly some karma that needs to get played out, and then also to internalize all those false beliefs, distorted perceptions, and all these negative things that they hold and they carry and they transmit to us, because those are the things that we need to work through to bring something better. And as we grow up and get to a point where we don't agree with that anymore, and we have to find a way to become truly ourselves and leave all that past baggage behind, that's when we really start transforming, questioning, you know, seeking for something more authentic that makes us feel more connected to ourselves. And in that process, we are transforming and we are contributing to the collective unconscious what we're here to contribute. That's how transformation happens. Otherwise, we would be still in caves, you know, hitting each other with a club. With a club, you're right.
Oh, I love it. This is so enlightening. Now, you mentioned spiritual responsibility, and I just want to go back to that for just a moment, because I want the listeners out there to be able to, one, understand just a little bit more about when you say that, you know, we need to do that. Okay, how do we do that, and is it possible for us to start doing that today?
Yes. It starts when you stop believing that life happens for you, and you start paying attention to how you are creating everything in your experience. And, of course, a lot of it is created unconsciously, because we're not aware of our patterns and our attitudes and the energy that we're putting out there. But when you start paying attention to what life is reflecting back at you and asking, what is this telling me about me? You start taking spiritual responsibility. Because like I said before, it is your own movie. It's a mental movie. And the script is your self-perception. So when you find opposition or obstacles or difficult relationships or situations, and you just place yourself in the role of a victim, poor me, and all this is happening, and, you know, I don't know what, there's nothing I can do about it, well, you're not going to change anything, and you're not really taking spiritual responsibility, right? So to do that, you have to step out of that role and that self-perception and start questioning, why is this happening? What is this telling me? What is this showing me about me that I need to change, that I need to transform, that I need to heal? Because every single thing that causes us pain is really pointing at a wound that is already there, and it's just, you know, our own soul is saying, hey, you need to look at this. You need to look at this. You need to do something about it so that it doesn't happen again. That's taking spiritual responsibility. And it can start right now, right here, right now. You know, just start questioning instead of being blindly led through life as a victim, you know, like a child, codependent,
right.
Feeling like, you know, you're helpless, there's nothing you can do about it, and it's someone else's fault.
Wow. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So listeners out there, Yo Swan just gave you a huge golden nugget that, for one, will help you evolve and transform and become more aware and basically take more control of your own mental movie. But really, she gave you a golden nugget that will change your life. And so when you start questioning things instead of playing the victim, I believe that all of us will begin to evolve and awaken and realize that life is life, and, you know, why are we going through the things that we're going through, and how can we make things better and take responsibility for what we perceive and how we respond to things. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, my gosh. Now, with regards to spiritual healing, is there not anyone that needs spiritual healing? Do some people need spiritual healing, or do we all need spiritual healing in some aspect of or form?
We all need healing. In fact, that's one of the main reasons why we have to reincarnate so many times. And it's not because we need to be fixed or we're broken, but really it's because life in the physical body is very challenging, and it makes it very easy for us to disconnect from that flow of consciousness, you know, from that core element of the soul. So we get so attached to the physicality, to the physical senses, to our desires, to the things that we want to accomplish, to what the world is telling us that is important, that we forget sometimes what are our spiritual priorities. So we forget to be more compassionate and more loving and choose love instead of fear, or choose connection instead of, you know, my own little individual process that I need to heal because I'm wounded and I need to, you know, kind of replace my wounds with something else. And so we carry both individual wounds as well as those belonging to the feminine planet that we have created collectively. It didn't just happen overnight that someone, you know, just create all this mess. We've been doing this all along, and so we share that responsibility as well. So those wounds make us suffer for ourselves, you know, our own individual journey, and for the Earth.
Right.
And so we need that healing. We need, and that means aligning all the layers of the soul so that they are at peace, so that they are supporting each other. You know how sometimes you want to do something, you know, you have this desire, but your mind is pulling you in a different direction, And then deep inside, you know that really you should be going in another direction. And the wounded inner child says, well, no, this is what I want, and I'm going to be in temper tantrum, right? And
mm-hmm.
so we are so split, so disconnected from ourselves because these aspects have been kind of scattered or separated or compartmentalized. You know, the world tends to do that, you know, growing up in a dysfunctional family, and I don't think there's a family that is not dysfunctional in this world, or the educational system, or, you know, or the jobs that we hold, you know, the positions, the corporation, it's all very compartmentalized. And so we grow up believing, you know, and following the same trends of compartmentalizing aspects of ourselves that we need to integrate and put together and align to feel strong and clear about who we are and what we want and make conscious choices that are beneficial for ourselves and for others. So
wow.
In that sense, healing is the process of self-integration, soul integration, that allows us to be centered and anchored in ourselves and have a higher perception of what our life is about. And it requires, of course, putting all the pieces of our life puzzle together to really understand, you know, what we're here to do, what's the meaning and purpose of everything that we've gone through, and you know, learn from those experiences and keep growing and growing to bring forth something better, something higher, you know, something more elevated, you know, spiritualized.
Right. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I want to get into a little bit of how we mentioned earlier in the show about the feminine soul and, you know, how the feminine soul is really connected to the planet. And when there's an imbalance, so to speak, a disturbance or an unbalance of the scales, things can be chaotic in both realms. Can you explain to us why restoring the feminine soul and bringing balance to the planet, and how can this, how by us doing this, how can we do this, first of all? How can we restore the feminine soul and bring balance back to the planet?
Well, one thing that I want to mention before going into that is that we disconnected from the feminine a very long time ago.
Do you know about when this occurred, approximately?
When we were during the civilization of Atlantis.
Okay.
So we disconnected, you know, it was a big rebellion. I'm not going to go into details. You have to read the book to learn that story. But, you know, there was a big rebellion, and we disconnected from the feminine because those who manipulated all the feminine souls into rebelling and joining them, and also masculine souls who were not as masculine, you know, I call these souls martial souls because they're very war-oriented and very conflict-oriented and experimentation-oriented. We still see them out there. You know, they're the you know, the ones who pollute our rivers and air and food and all and so on. So, and of course, promote war left and right. So those are the souls that kind of manipulated us to rebel. And they did that because they really wanted to take charge of the planet. They wanted to say, okay, we're in charge. This is our experiment, and we want to be alone. We don't want anyone else to intervene. And back then, we were connected to many other planets. You know, the Earth was sort of a hub, and of course higher teachers and masters, you know, a whole galactic federation, and so we disconnected from that and started experimenting with energy, with all the elements on the planet and so on. That's what these guys wanted, and they still do. But in that process, there was an imbalance of energy, and so things started blowing up. And the the continent or the islands of Atlantis sank. And at the same time, because of that manipulation of energy and because we were transitioning towards a masculine dark cycle, you know, cosmic cycle of which we had obviously no control whatsoever, we disconnected from the lunar energies further and further and sank into third dimension. So it's complex to understand, but basically we were living in fifth dimension, trying to interact with each other, different soul types from different places, from different evolutionary states and so on, to experience the human physical experience on the planet and learning from each other and so on. But, you know, those who took charge were really here to drag us into this dark masculine cycle. You know, that was their purpose, their function, because each soul has specific function, right? So we can see them as the bad guys, yeah, because they're not nice, but they had a purpose, right? And so we disconnected from that, and as we got deeper and deeper into this third dimension, of course, we disconnected further and further. So that resulted, you know, eventually in what we see today, which is a very wounded feminine, where the qualities and the virtues of, you know, the sensitivity, receptivity, intuition, compassion, love, connection, nurturing, are devalued. You know, they're just kind of limited to certain roles, and that's it. And it's very clear in the roles that women have had throughout history. It's like you're the mother and the lover, and, you know, and that's it.
Right,
and those are the main soul types that have been here also supporting this masculine cycle. Now we have reached the extreme of masculinity and we're turning around. And there's a lot happening nowadays, you know, because we're turning towards a feminine cosmic cycle. We are also moving into a planetary cycle, you know, an astrological cycle, the age of Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving back into fifth dimension. So there's a, you know, it's a juncture of shifts that is happening. And as we move that, we have to restore the feminine to bring balance. Because if you think about it one step further, and, you know, life on Earth would be completely destroyed.
Right.
So we've really reached that. And so we all are experiencing, feeling the calling of the feminine to start questioning all this and saying, okay, hold on, I don't want that. I don't want to push it any further. I want to figure ways to bring more balance, to bring a healthier and to save this planet. And
so
this
is that
obviously
something
happening
that
at a very deep level.
Is that something that the indigo children or the indigos, I'm going to say, are able to assist with because of their deep feminine masculine balance and the connection that they have with the planet?
Yes, all feminine souls are feeling that calling to restore the feminine. Indigos, because of the masculine qualities, have been planting seeds throughout history to get here, to get to this point. And what one of the premises, or the not the premises, but the main suggestion of the book is for all feminine souls to embrace an indigo archetype. Why? Because the excessive masculinity allows any feminine soul to take on some of those qualities and bring into manifestation, into reality, the qualities of the feminine. We need that masculine energy because it's what gives us purpose, what gives us clarity, what gives us self-discipline. Otherwise, we remain a little too passive, which is what happened for thousands of years, right? So we need to really take charge of of the energies, of both energies, and accomplish something that we know is going to contribute to a better planet. And, of course, restoring the feminine and balancing our energies from within and on the outside. Because we're all connected to everything and everyone, so even just our own personal transformation affects the whole.
Wow.
But of course, we are also here to create new types of businesses, new types of parenting, new types of teaching and learning. And so we need to integrate both masculine and feminine to accomplish that.
That I see. I love it. Just love it. So, okay. So all of got people out there listening, we're, you know, coming down to the end of our segment here. But what I want to you to do is I want you guys to continue listening, because now that you have all this information, I'm going to ask Yoel, now that we have this information about the indigos and the feminine and masculine and the layers of the soul and all this wonderful information you gave us and you shared with us and the tips that you shared with us on how we can basically be better, what should we do with this information?
Well, you need to go to Amazon and buy my book.
Very nice.
To put all the pieces that I just gave you together and have, you know, a more cohesive understanding of everything that I said. Because, I mean, these are just little pieces here and there. But throughout the book, I explain how all this happened, you know, and there's a lot of insight, a lot of tools, a lot of ways to help you, you know, to guide you through that process of transformation that is very much needed.
You're very right, you guys. I got her book. It was sent to me, which is wonderful. It was a beautiful gift. And I got right into it because I just have interest in, have been told that, that I was an indigo a long time ago. And so I knew a little bit more about it, and it just helped explain a lot of things. But you talk about meditation being essential to finding balance. And that's a really good way, I think, for people to just really start becoming self-aware of themselves. Some people find it difficult to meditate. And I know that being a certified meditation specialist, do you have one suggestion that you can share with the listeners before we get really into how they can connect with you that would make anyone out there listening that may be apprehensive about meditation because they find it difficult, do you have something that you can share with them that might make it just a little bit easier for them?
Sure. Meditation is the ultimate medicine. You know, it's the ultimate healing. It's what we are all here to really master. Because without meditation, there's no deep transformation. There's no tapping into the deepest aspects of the soul. So it's essential. And I know it's challenging because we have an ego, you know, an ego mind that is going to be bombarding you when you sit down and try to meditate. You know, just to quiet the mind is quite a process. So what I recommend, and I have definitely different steps in the book to help you with this, is to focus your creative energy so that you anchor yourself in something, you know. So it's easier to do it with a creative endeavor, like, you know, drawing or painting or singing or writing or something that really focuses your attention on something that you're enjoying, but at the same time, you're anchoring the different layers of your mind into one single thing. And it's that single-pointedness that is going to make for you, easier for you to step into meditation, to, you know, to take that next step. Because it's being... You know, meditation allows you to be completely in the present moment, really, truly in the present. When you're absolutely in the present, you touch your own infinite nature. So when you focus and the world disappears, you know, you just focus on what you're doing, you're tapping into those aspects of the soul and you're reinforcing them. You're creating this habit, this groove, if you will, that anchors you there, and then it's going to make easier for you to sit down and find that place within you again. So that's an easy way to get started if sitting down in meditation it's tough, but it's really about focusing, anchoring yourself in something that connects you to you. So it's something that you're enjoying. But it also involves, you know, the physical, the mental, the emotional. So we're trying to, again, align those layers in what we're doing. Not for money, not if it's your profession, it has to be something that you carve the time and space just for you. It's like your own little club where no one else is invited and you're connecting to yourself through that endeavor. And that definitely helps. It makes things easier.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, I want you to really tell us, if someone out there wants to connect with you, they want to get the book, please share all of that information as to, one, how they can get the book, phenomenal book, and two, how they can connect with you for deeper understanding.
Yeah, the book can be found on Amazon, both in print and as an e-book. And also as an ebook at BarnesandNoble.com and iTunes, and through select bookstores, that carry these type of metaphysical books. The title is, again, The Indigo Journals, Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls. And there's a website for it as well where you can get more information. It's theindigojournals.com. And as far as me and my services, what I do, you can learn more about all of that at soulguidedcoach.com, where I have a variety of private services like spiritual counseling or conscious business coaching for spiritual entrepreneurs. I also have an individual Indigo Soul Healing program and other energy healing services. And I'm launching a group program this year pretty soon, within a couple months or so, that is called Unlock Your Hidden Power for Self-Healing, Abundance, and Joy. And that's clearly based on the book and restoring the feminine, utilizing, harnessing that creative power of the feminine to feel self-empowered and heal the past, heal the wounds, be at peace with yourself, and bring abundance and joy into your life. So stay tuned for that. You can join my newsletter as well to stay in touch. And again, the website is soulguidedcoach.com.
Well, thank you so much, Yol Swan, for being a guest on Blissful Living. I had an absolutely fabulous time learning so much more about indigos and the feminine and masculine soul levels and ego and just, how our life is. I mean, there were so many things that you shared with regards to just us being able to have a better journey as we're here, how we can take the spiritual responsibilities, all of that wonderful stuff. And I want to thank all of you for sharing your time with us and listening to the show. I'm sure that Yol gave you some enlightenment, learned a little bit of information that you may have not known, and you may have been able to enhance the information that you have that you already knew. So take the information, connect with her at her website, soulguidedcoach.com, and please go to Amazon and pick up her book, The Indigo Journal, Spiritual Healing for Indigo Adults and Other Feminine Souls. And I also want to thank our sponsors, the Health Healing and Wellness Company, healthhealingwellness.com. Please go check them out as well as All Day Cable, Inc., and they are at alldaycableinc.com. I am the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and I want to wish you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit as you travel down your path to bliss. Until next week, have a fabulous week, and goodbye for now.
thank you for joining Rochelle Marie Lawson on Blissful Living. To contact Rochelle Marie and to find out more about Blissful Living, click on Blissful Living For You link right here on the Blissful Living Network. Catch all the Blissful Living episodes on demand and available for download 24/7 on blissfulliving4you.com. Until next week, may your life be filled with peace, wellness, abundance, and prosperity.